Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
All right, it's Super Bowl Sunday here on 720 WGN. Can we say Super Bowl? Or do I have to say the big game?
In a news report, I think you can.
All right, this is a news report.
So, okay.
In the 53-year history, there's been both epic spectacles and epic fails. Last year, we had Justin Timberlake. This year's Maroon 5 with Travis Scott and Outkast's Big Boy. The legendary Gladys Knight is singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility that there might be a SpongeBob thing happening. What's that all about, Curtis?
Last year, the creator of SpongeBob, Steven Hillenburg, passed away with a battle of cancer. And immediately, one of the episodes of SpongeBob back in the early days, in the early 2000s, was SpongeBob and his buddies performing at a halftime show at a football game. And the song that they sang was Sweet, Sweet Victory. And all of a sudden, after the announcing of that passing and the announcement of the Super Bowl coming up and everything like that, a petition online got 1.5 million signatures for people to for the halftime act to make some sort of tribute. And supposedly, I've seen a couple of articles across social media that Maroon 5 is going to be paying some sort of tribute.
That's
to
interesting.
The crew.
That's interesting. We played Prince coming in. Because all rankings, Rolling Stone magazine, Billboard, anybody that has done a survey on the best Super Bowl halftime show, Prince has won hands down. I mean, hands down. This was in 2007.
The pouring rain.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. He had like all kinds of, he had different guitars every few minutes.
Yeah.
It was really,
he blew everyone away.
It blew everybody around.
Best of any Super Bowl halftime performance that I can remember.
Yeah.
And I preface that because there are a ton I didn't watch.
Well, here's
because I wasn't watching the game.
Well, here's the thing too, which is crazy. Here's the other thing too, is that it was 3 years after the big nip slip with Janet Jackson
and Timberlake, right?
Yeah, it was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
15th anniversary. Justin Timberlake, P. Diddy, Kid Rock, Jessica Simpson. That's why it was so wild that they let Justin back last year without Janet. who sang? And don't look online.
Oh,
who was
right.
the performer in 1970?
Oh, God.
Of the Super Bowl. When you were just a kid.
1970.
Mm-hmm. Who was the big halftime performer?
Up With People?
Carol Channing.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that. That was 70?
That was crazy.
My God.
Halftime shows weren't a big deal. 67, there was a halftime show at the University of Arizona and Grambling State Marching Bands.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 1968 was a Grambling State Marching Band. I guess they got rid of University of Arizona. The Florida A&M University Marching Band in 69, Carol Channing in 70, the Florida A&M Band, they must have just done fabulously, in 1971. 72 was a Salute to Louis Armstrong with Ella Fitzgerald, Carol Channing. Man, they just love Carol Channing. Al Hurt and the U.S. Marine Corps drill team.
That's cool.
73 was the University of Michigan Marching Band with Woody Herman. 74, a Musical America with the University of Texas Band. It was all bands. It was all the marching bands.
Well, because they couldn't afford the big stars back then, and they weren't really getting the audiences.
1980 was a Salute to the Big Band era with Up With People.
Now, I would stop right there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you'll now know what the answer is because you've done your research. What performance / performer has the most halftime performances of all the Super Bowls?
Not Michael Jackson.
Nope.
Yes. Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars has been on twice in halftime performances.
Carol Channing.
Nope.
Who is it?
Up With People.
Oh, good Lord.
Four halftime performances.
That's pretty good.
And that's why? Because they produce their own show.
Nice.
The NFL gave over the production of the halftime to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, different people come in and produce the halftime performances, and therefore they get to pick who they want, what they want to do.
Well, I could tell that in the 80s it started to develop a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Who'd they have?
82 was a salute to the 60s in Motown. 87 was a salute to Hollywood's 100th anniversary. 88 was Something Grand featuring 88 grand pianos, the Rockettes, and Chubby Checker.
I think I even remember that one.
I think I do too, actually. 1992 is Winter Magic with Gloria Estefan, Brian Boitano, and Dorothy Hamill.
And a little side note, Gloria Estefan, 3 halftime performances.
1991, a small world salute to 25 years of the Super Bowl with New Kids on the Block. But it was 1993 that really set the tone for everything else as far as what we watch today. It was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Heal the World, along with 3,500 local children. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's when it went big time.
Yeah.
Big, big, big time.
Do you guys know what's the most watched halftime show?
Oh, no, what's that?
That was Madonna, 2012. 111 million people watched that one.
Now, was it because of Madonna or was it because of the teams playing?
Well, it was the Giants and the Patriots, but 114 million viewers tuned in for Madonna's performance.
Just for the halftime.
Okay. Performance a few years ago.
I can see that. It was very good. My wife is a fanatic Madonna fan, or was anyway. She's got like a box full of stuff from high school. Oh, yeah. She loved that stuff.
Okay.
94 was country. Clint Black, Tanya Tucker, all that stuff.
And I'm surprised they haven't had that kind of a halftime show since, where it's been, you know, all country.
Collaboration.
Yeah.
Or at least that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
96 was Diana Ross. 97 was the Blues Brothers. I remember that one. That was Dan Aykroyd, John Goodman, and James Belushi.
Which, yeah.
With James Brown and ZZ Top. That was actually pretty good. And because Dan Aykroyd, obviously, and James Belushi, you know, his brother John was doing it, but John Goodman played it, I think, on Saturday Night Live, played that role a little bit and filled it once in a while. 98, a tribute to Motown's 40th anniversary, Boyz II Men, Smokey Robinson, Queen Latifah, Martha Reeves, and the Temptations. 99, celebration of soul, salsa, and swing. Stevie Wonder, Gloria Estefan, Big Voodoo Daddy, and tap dancer Savion Glover.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Tap Dance Kid.
2000.
Broadway show.
Tapestry of Nations, Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, Tony Braxton, an 80-person choir. 2001, The King of Rock and Pop.
So that was, excuse me.
Hello, nurse.
I should have pressed the button.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you did not see that on your radio set.
I did not nap too much.
Not at all.
Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney Spears. I'm so sorry, folks. Mary J. Blige and Nelly. 2002 was U2. I love U2.
And that was... if you look at the pregame, another performer who has not been a halftime performer, but has appeared not only to sing the anthem, but also pregame, Barry Manilow.
Oh, look at that.
I believe 3 times.
2004 was the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake thing. Then they played it safe with Paul McCartney in 2005. Mm-hmm. 2006
great
were the Stones. Prince was 2007, still, again, marked as the top one.
And who sang the anthem on that one?
Ooh, who?
Billy Joel.
Ooh, nice combo.
Yeah.
I like that. Tom Petty was 2008, Bruce Springsteen, then The Who in 2010, The Who. 2011, Black Eyed Peas, Usher, and Slash. I think they probably just went all out on that one. Madonna, of course, 2012, Beyonce, 2013, Bruno Mars, Red Hot Chili Peppers, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry in 2015, 2016 was Coldplay, and Beyonce again with Bruno Mars.
Uh-huh.
Lady Gaga in 17, Justin Timberlake with the University of Minnesota Marching Band. So they brought that back, the old marching band.
They ran out of money. Had to bring in a marching band.
Had to bring in the marching band.
I want to go back to 2010.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking like classics of music history, right?
Okay.
So... And I didn't know this because, again, I don't pay a lot of attention to the big game.
Yeah.
But there are pre-game performers.
Yes, sir.
Not just the anthem singers.
Yeah.
But groups that come in and do the pre-game.
Mm-hmm.
So The Who in 2010 was your halftime performer.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Underwood sang the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Daughtry from American Idol mm-hmm. was a big winner. Steve Winwood and Queen Latifah were pregame performers.
So who's scheduled for tonight? It's Gladys Knight, as we mentioned. But
she's the anthem singer, mm-hmm. and they have to coordinate, apparently, a flyover. But the stadium is closed. It's got a ceiling on it, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember.
Atlanta? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, that's that new stadium they built, I think, for the Olympics. So let me look up 2019.
So the top three were Prince, Beyonce, and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, as far as halftime performers. Yeah. Pre-game performers. Let's see here.
Why don't you have your staff look it up?
Yeah, we got your staff. We got, oh my gosh. Big Boy? Who's Big Boy?
He's actually going to be on tonight.
Oh,
Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With Maroon 5.
You got Maroon 5, mm-hmm. Chloe X Hale, Haley, mm-hmm. Travis Scott, mm-hmm. Gladys Knight, yep. Big Boy, all will perform.
Halftime, though, but that's halftime.
That's but Gladys Knight is doing the national anthem.
That's correct, yep.
Yeah. All right, here we go. America the Beautiful, Chloe X Hale, Haley.
Okay.
It doesn't say who's doing the pregame.
Well, we'll find out
tonight. Yeah.
Circuses on the air.
The president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday to you, Dave Schwann.
Happy big game Sunday.
This is history. This is history. Is a production of WGN Radio News.
Okay. Happy Super Bowl Day.
That's how they all get through that is, yes, this is a production of the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Does not necessarily reflect the feelings of this station.
Patriots or Rams for you?
I really kind of am indifferent, but I probably will go with New England because I have friends that are from New England. Mm. One of whom, actually, she moved back there last year for some family issues. But, boy, you talk about a passionate New England
Patriots. Oh, yeah, ravenous. Absolutely.
She is. I'm going to lean for New England.
I still think the game should have been the Patriots and the Saints. I really do. I think the Saints got screwed out of this pretty badly.
Or the Patriots and the Bears, for that matter.
Yeah. But I would like to hang on board with the Patriots. So, I always root for the underdog. I always root against the Patriots, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And I've lost quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see the Rams win this year. We had Sam Padianovich on earlier, and we're talking about sports betting and all this other good stuff, and talking about, you know, what are the top things people bet on? And they were, you know, he mentioned, and you can listen to the podcast later, but betting on, of course, the score of the game, the coin toss. Will Bruno Mars wear a hat during the halftime show? I mean, these are some of the things that people are betting on.
They're actually betting on whether or not he's going to wear a hat.
Uh-huh. You can bet
tens of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
As to whether or not he wears a hat.
He said the average.
Lose your house.
Yeah. What were some of the other ones, Curtis? I can't remember.
The color of Gatorade or liquid that'll be dumped on
the winning coach.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I mean, it's all over the place.
The coin toss. Who's going to call the coin toss?
Yeah.
Everything.
Uh-huh. How long the national anthem will be? It's usually a minute 27. Will she go longer or lower on that number? Will she do 125? Will she do 130?
Well, Gladys Knight can pour her heart out.
Yes, she can.
So that's
going to be longer.
Go
I'm thinking
longer.
So. I think so too.
Sam was also mentioning about how they're doing like cross sports betting, where like who will Brandon Cooks have more receptions than LeBron James free throws, or you know, stuff like that. You know, other stuff like that. And I think like the record, the set was at like 7 or 8 or whatever he was saying earlier.
It's a big business, and they think Illinois will pass the bill probably this summer.
Business. This the betting thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Sam's been talking about this for a long time. So
yeah, he's into it, man.
It could happen.
It could happen.
With the new administration in place now.
The other thing I think about, of course, on Super Bowl Sunday is, you know, where I was. I think it was in 8th grade. No, not 8th grade. I was a senior in high school when the Bears won the 85. Or 80 in 86, the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Well, that game. It was an unforgettable season.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, one of the highlights in my years in broadcasting, covering
Did you cover
celebration.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I watched.
Where were you working?
I was at WFYR. 103.5
cool. Okay.
FM.
Oh, yeah.
And we were no longer calling it Fire Radio then.
Okay, all right.
It was
okay.
FYR, WFYR.
That's cool.
But it was cool and cold out there.
I was saying, you were on the streets.
Cold.
So you were on the streets covering it live?
Yeah. I watched
cool.
the game with friends. My buddy, for a Christmas present for his family, rented a big screen television. Now,
that was
come
a big
on,
deal.
This is 1986.
That was a big deal.
This
oh, absolutely.
Before all the digital stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
So we watched the game. It was great. I left and came downtown, and the place was Michigan Avenue was already, you know, chaos.
I bet it was.
And I stayed out all night. And then they had a celebration in Daley Plaza. I was there for that. I went back to the station 4 a.m. And we got phone calls from all over, radio stations from all over the country wanting
that's
sound.
That's exciting. Oh, that's
reports.
Cool.
Reports. So I had a ball.
I bet you did.
I had a ball.
I bet
and
you
when
did.
I got home, I was too keyed up to go to sleep. So I can't miss this parade.
No. Oh, so you just stayed up.
So I just stayed up.
Was it really the next day?
Yes. It
oh
was
my
that
God.
Monday.
Wow.
And there were so many people.
I don't remember. Yeah.
There were so many people on LaSalle Street. That the bus with carrying the team.
I was going to say, I think Dave Ennett talked about this, Dave, when we were with him on Christmas Eve. I think Ennett was talking about how they won in New Orleans, they landed in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. They
and
weren't
then
here.
They
that's
just went
right.
straight on the buses and
yeah.
went right down for the parade.
Yeah,
it's spectacular.
Yep. But there were so many people just jamming the street that the poor bus driver couldn't get through. The police had to move the people out of the way.
I still think maybe next year, 2020.
Yeah, it could happen.
Right?
If we continue to do what we did this season.
So would that be 35 years next year if we won?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy won Coach of the Year today.
Oh, did he really? I missed that.
Coach of the Year. And,
oh, that's great.
Great to see. Not necessarily surprised about that.
Not either. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Good things ahead.
So it was. That was. Yeah. I have to say, really, Dave, that this was the covering the Bears Super Bowl celebration. The victory was one
big
of the,
highlight.
Oh, everybody was so pumped about that season. It
that's
was
awesome.
Just awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome. We have a few other things on our list. It's the 100th anniversary of the post office. UPS.
UPS.
Yeah. United Parcel Service, yeah. Post office. Still losing money.
The post office was around long before that.
Still losing money. 1933, FDR was almost killed in Chicago.
No, he was almost killed in Florida.
With our Chicago
with
mayor.
With the mayor.
Thank
with
you
Anton
for
that. Cermak.
So
yes.
FDR was almost killed. Presumably, Vice President Nance Garner would have assumed the presidency at the bottom of the Great Depression. As it was, the shot went wild in Florida and killed Mayor Cermak, who was
right.
with Roosevelt.
That's
the
right.
story.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
think about that one.
Yes.
Let's see. What else do we have here? 1940, Tom and Jerry was created by Hanna-Barbera. 1953, The Adventures of Superman premiered.
Oh.
Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper.
Did you watch the show as a kid?
It's a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
I'm going to say yes to my question.
I ran home faster than a speeding bullet from school to see
to watch
Superman.
It after school.
If the Cubs were idle on a given day...
Was it on Channel 9?
They played Superman, Three Stooges, and cartoons. Gosh.
That's so funny.
Yes, I watched
this. I'm trying to think what channel I would have watched Superman on back in the day.
Maybe for you it might have been 32.
Yeah, or something like that, or 44
for me,
or something like that.
It definitely was WGN. You see those. MeTV runs them every so often.
Maybe that's right. I probably see
now.
More of them there than
you watch them
else.
Now
yeah.
And you go, oh,
a
man.
Little hokey. But as a kid, those were amazing, right?
They were just awesome. Yeah.
I ran around
the house with a robe tied around my back. I wrote a big S on a piece of paper.
That's awesome.
I taped it to the...
Hey, my son has pajamas that, you know, the pajamas come with a cape.
With the cape?
Oh, of course they do. He loves that. That's fantastic. 1959, couple things. This is the 60th anniversary of the day the music died. February 3rd.
Oh, Buddy Holly, yes.
Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
Richie Valens, yeah.
Who didn't make the plane?
Oh, somebody gave up the seat.
Waylon Jennings, that's right.
Yeah.
All three were traveling to Fargo, North Dakota for the next show. They were coming from Clear Lake, Iowa.
Yeah.
For their winter dance party.
And, you know, for a long time, Don McLean's great song, American Pie, no one really knew... Because it was so cryptic and so brilliantly put together. No one really knew exactly what he meant by all of that. And, you know, it finally came out later. And then I guess he said so, that he was talking about Buddy Holly. You know.
After the performance, the group got ready to travel their next show on tour on the bus. Holly boarded the 1947 aircraft to Fargo. Two other members of the group had the option to fly with him at $36 a person. Dion did not want to pay, but Waylon Jennings was keen to fly with Buddy, but exchanged his seat with J.P. Richardson because he had a cold. Tommy Alsup was also in the group, but Richie Valens offered to flip him for the seat since he was ill. The local host of the winter dance party, Bob Hale, flipped the coin. Richie called heads and won the toss. Years later, Tommy Alsup would open up a dance club named the Heads Up Saloon to commemorate the life-saving coin toss that saved his life. When you think about it that way.
You know, I think Bob Hale was an early DJ on WLS right when they changed to rock and roll. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. What else did we have here? First appearance of Beatles on The Sullivan Show was this coming Saturday. We just had Andrew Solt, who was a producer of The Sullivan Show.
55 years ago.
55 years
I
ago.
I remember that, too. You're a young fella.
Mm-hmm. Listen to you. I have that on here, too. Oh, Barbie? Oh, yeah, Barbie was launched.
Never
also
had a,
60 years ago.
I didn't have a Barbie.
My daughter still has her Barbie Playhouse.
I guess they're still popular.
Very much so. And she has collectible ones in her room, too, that she was given over the years. But she's 13 now. You know, so her American Girl and her Barbie sit idol.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say, well, do you want me to pack this up and put it away? She says, oh, No. Keep them on. Here's a classic commercial.
Barbie, you're beautiful. My Barbie doll is really real. Barbie's small and so petite. Her clothes and figure look so neat.
So there's a little Barbie there. On 2005, YouTube, the popular internet site, of course, that we all know and love, was launched. It doesn't... 15 years ago? 14 years ago.
Was that when it was launched, or when it was picked up by...
When it was launched.
Launched.
Yeah. Which is crazy. It just seems so recent. And I mean, we live and breathe by YouTube.
It is recent.
You know?
And look at what you see and hear and can get on YouTube. It's unfathomable.
I mean,
just what you can pull up. You can type in anything.
I don't know if it's Facebook or YouTube I spend more time on. Probably Facebook, but YouTube is a close second.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
For me, it's YouTube.
Yeah,
because I'm looking up things, you know.
Yeah, moments and, in history and stuff.
History or facts or videos of something, you know. So for me, it would be YouTube rather than Facebook.
Well, in honor of Coach Matt Nagy, who won Coach of the Year this year, and our Chicago Bears, here's one of my favorite sketches from Saturday Night Live with Mike Myers, George Wendt, and Chris Farley.
Welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky's Superfan. I'm Bob Swirsky, and I want to thank everyone for sending those cards to my brother Bill, who recently had another heart attack. We are coming to you live from Ditka's here on Thanksgiving Day, a day for giving thanks for, or taking punishment from, a team that is known as Stubbers.
The Bears.
With me, as always, are the super fans. Gentlemen, how was your week?
Real good.
Fantastic. Real good. Fantastic. Good. Any heart attacks?
I had one.
Had a couple. All right. Now, as you can tell, we're celebrating Thanksgiving here at Ditka's rather than at our homes. But it's okay. Our families understand.
Absolutely.
This year, the Bears are playing, and Ditka's has a 12-foot screen.
Of course. There's really no other place to be.
All right, we're getting ready to watch the Bears annihilate the Detroit Lions. But first, it's a good time to reflect on our glorious heritage. And here to help us out with your
annual presentation. All right, so anyway, that's our little Bears tribute there.